Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello and welcome to Just the Sip. I am your host, Justin Sylvester. You know, every now and then I like to dig into the archives. I had the pleasure of talking to one of my favorite actors in the world. He also has become one of my friends. It's the one and only Tay Diggs. We talk about dirty DMs, digital dating, and something that is so important right now, raising a biracial son in what seems to be a divided country. Take a listen at this Just the Sip. When I showed up to work today, every lady in this place had on thigh-high boots. The makeup was going. There are more people in this room than are normally allowed in here, and I don't know why or how they snuck in here, but dude, you bring a crowd. You bring a crowd.
Well, that makes me feel good.
The one thing I am so impressed about you is most people, when they get their big break, it's a hairline fracture. But you jumped on the scene and was part of one of the world's biggest musicals.
Oh, Rent, you mean?
Yeah, how was that experience?
Man, if I'm keeping it real, I had no idea. Like, I didn't even want to be in it. I had moved to New York. I had already been in one musical. And after that musical, I had in my head that I was going to be in the movies and TV.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to focus on music theater anymore. Every time I go into these auditions, they're like, you know, you're from music theater. Do you have any experience? So I literally told my agents, don't submit me for any more musicals. I want to focus on screen. And then this audition came up. They said it's cool directors, new project. We don't really know what it's about, but it's got a lot of buzz. Will you go in? I said, if it's a musical, no. So I passed on it 3 times. And then finally, my agent called me up and said, please, just do this as a favor for me.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in it. Just get in front of these people so they know you. But his agents want to look good, too.
For sure.
So I said, all right, let me go in. And then, you know, I'm an actor, so I got an ego. Once I went in,
you wanted to get the part.
Okay.
Come on.
I got the part. And then it was just a really amazing experience. I met my wife at the time, Idina Menzel. And we knew it was cool. It was about all of this subject matter that that I knew was very pertinent. But I had no idea it would be what it was. And it was amazing. It was amazing. You know what I mean? But at the same time, at that time, I only saw it as a stepping stone. I didn't realize, you know, how important it was kind of to the world until after I had already left and done other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, it was
so
just...
So you didn't know it was iconic when you were in
it. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was like, okay, so after this, what am I going to do? Who's going to see me? I was enjoying my experience, but I had no idea of the effects that it had on life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that didn't happen for years.
Yeah.
Years.
Now, there's not a lot of brothers on Broadway.
I mean,
you don't see a lot of people like us on the beat.
I mean, more than when I started, but yeah.
Was it an uphill battle when you were starting? Were people not taking you serious in that medium?
So there's what I experienced, and then there's what, like, the other people experience.
The 99%.
For me, I was driven. For whatever reason, God blessed me. I had gifts. Nothing was uphill for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And because I had that attitude, nothing was uphill. But then when I removed myself and saw other folks, then I was like, oh, these people weren't as fortunate as me. Oh, something's kind of off here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So while I was on Broadway, I was just doing me. But after I left Broadway, I looked at Broadway and I was like, oh, there aren't a lot of brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I didn't feel it
until
I was
left
so
it.
Focused on my journey. But then, you know, once I took the emphasis off myself, I was like, okay, things need to change. But it is getting better.
Yeah.
It is getting better.
And you started that in 1996.
I don't know dates, man.
You started that in 1996. I'm going to give you some dates because this one is actually important. In 1998, you did something that was heard around the world. You dethroned Shamar Moore as that dude when Stella got her groove back. Because every black auntie, every black mama, every grandmother wanted to marry Shamar Moore. And then Stella Got Her Groove Back came out and it was done.
Okay.
You became that dude in 98. What was that experience like?
I didn't realize it.
How? You were Winston.
I don't know. Like, it just didn't feel like much had changed, you know, because I was so... At that point, I had gotten, you know, my main wish, which was I'm going to be in the movies.
Yeah.
Right? So I knew it. My attitude was I knew it was going to happen. It was just when. So after Rent, I started to get a little salty because I got into Rent and then I saw how big it was getting. And instead of thinking, oh, this is big, this is like affecting the world, I was like, oh, this is big. This is going to be my stepping stone to the next to the next level. Everybody else in the cast started getting things. You know, Daphne got a movie. You know, Adam and Adina got a record contract. And I wasn't getting anything. So I started to get a little salty. Finally, when I was in Rent, that's how I got Stella Got Her Groove Back. Then I was like, okay, phew. Now I'm ready.
You good.
Now I'm ready. Now let's go for Denzel.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really realizing what I was just moving. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now I regret not being kind of in the moment more because I was so focused on the next level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't like, when people were saying, oh, you were great, you're okay, but I'm trying to get, so I didn't feel like I deserved it because I wasn't where I thought I needed to be.
Is that from being so driven, or did you think that you didn't deserve that kind of hype just yet?
I didn't feel like I deserved it because I wasn't where I thought I needed to be. All of that time from college, all the way up till just like literally a few years ago, I was just moving, looking here instead of like, oh, wow, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? I'm like, kind of doing it, but I'm not, I don't got it like that, dude. I need to be
in Beverly Park. I need to be in Beverly Park.
And you kind of taught that, you know what I mean?
For sure.
But that's the main thing that I've realized like in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
No matter what, I still have goals, but I'm like, hey, I'm here at the... I'm here with you, like two brothers doing it. And we on TV. That's cool. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
As opposed to someone's going to see this and then maybe I can get on Leno or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I appreciate you right now.
No, I appreciate you being here. I'm telling you. This is like everything.
You know what I mean?
You did something before something was even cool. You were in an interracial relationship public in Hollywood in the 90s.
Yeah.
How was that? Because I'm sure you got some heat.
You know what? This is what helped me. I was blissfully ignorant. Do you know what I mean? I was, like, I'm flighty anyway. So, you know, a lot of times I'm just not aware of what's going on around me because I'm so focused on what I'm in. So I was in love. It made sense. And I just did what I felt. When I did every once in a while feel a negative presence, I would block that out.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't let it in because I'm sensitive. I knew if I let it in, it would destroy me. So that's how I got through it. But
because I get looks. I mean, listen, I am a black gay man from South Louisiana. When I go home, you know, with a boyfriend or somebody, I get more looks because we're interracial, not because we, you know, looking at each other's thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
it's
you would
tough.
Think
it's tough.
It's a tough thing.
It's tough because. Back then, I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I try to be more understanding because, you know, everybody has a reason for what they believe. And I'm now of the school of let's all sit down and discuss before we just put up a door. You know, let's discuss it.
Yeah.
Let's at least, you know, create a dialogue. But when it comes to that, it's still really, really rough with me.
It's still a touchy.
Yeah. Just because... You know, I have a little boy, and you know he's mixed. I came out with a book called mixed me. And some people were like going in on my son, talking about, you know, you need to recognize that your son is a black man and you need to be proud of being black, and saying some really awful things about my child. And that really affected me, you know what I mean? Because if I had, you know, this was something that I was doing that I thought was good, something that was good, something that was positive.
Educating.
Promoting, you know, self-awareness and pride and anti-bullying. And certain people, you know, were so either hurt or, I don't know what their deal was, but they found a way to take that and make it something negative and then focus it on my child.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that. Like other people's ignorance, you know, is still, I'm struggling with that.
That would kill me too. I have friends that are raising biracial children. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's like a struggle between teaching your child how to be a strong black man, but mm-hmm. at the same time, being honest about who they are.
Yes.
And you can do both.
You can do both. It's more how it's other people that have the issue. Yeah. And that's what, to me, isn't fair. Do you know what I mean? My son is cool.
Yeah.
He's the coolest cat I know. He knows who he is. He has no issue with it. But if he, you know, if somebody came to him and tried to, you know what I mean,
we would step.
Oh, they would feel my hands. And I don't like, that's not me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I struggle with that. But I would beat somebody's ass if they came at him for something like that. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
Because for you, it's like, you know what? Come at me all you want.
Totally.
You know,
I get it.
I made my choice. This is who I love. This is the person I fell in love with.
He's fine. He's fine with who he is. He's more evolved and comfortable than I am.
Yeah.
So for you to come at him, you know, defenseless, you're gonna feel some knuckles. So, you know, we gotta work on it. We gotta pray on it, brother.
We gotta pray on it. No, we gotta pray on it. And we gotta pray on, you're a single man now.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
We gonna have to pray on that, because now that you have a gay friend, I can't let you run around with no thoughts. I can't let Taye Diggs run around here with no thoughts, because I be seeing the thoughts looking at you at the gym. And I be walking up to them being like, no, 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 no.
Oh, Lord.
I'm like Mutombo. I'm like, no, 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 no. Not today.
Don't do that, Taye Diggs. Taye Diggs enough for you.
What's it like dating in the digital world?
I'm not dating, man.
I'm not dating.
That's why I need you. I'm not.
Come on. You got to be pulling something.
I'm not. Only because I don't know how to do it. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to do it. Like, I'm not technically savvy. Make it easy for me to get in there. And I don't have time. So it's just, I'm praying on it. And I'm using my friends. Like, I'm using my friends. I want to find friends of friends,
yeah.
I think. You know what I mean?
But come on.
What?
You're Taye Diggs. The DM is popping off. Like popcorn.
That's kind of fun, right?
The DMs.
Yes.
What's the crazy shit you get in your DMs? Because I checked Shamar Moore's DMs, and that shit was popping.
All right, so I'm almost 50,
uh-huh.
Okay? But I'm a man. I have a penis.
Uh-huh.
And curves excite me. But these DMs, some of these women will put pictures of themselves, and there's a side of me that's like, honey, put on some clothes. What? Oh, my Lord. Yeah, like, there's a side of me that is, and that's uncomfortable. Like, I don't get this age that we're in where if you don't know me, you're going to send me that. Like, where are we supposed to go from there?
But you go back and you check it.
Of course. I mean, it's just a photo.
Just a photo.
But I struggle with that. I struggle with that. You know what I mean? So I don't know whether or not to kind of give over or to just stay in my lane and just kind of let things. I feel like I can't let things happen naturally because that's not where we are.
No.
But I don't. I'm not. I just. I'm a little lazy to be like, okay, let me get on this site and let me go out on this date and, hey, what's up? My name is Taye Diggs and I like long walks in the park. Ah. You know what I mean?
All you gotta say is, hey, have you seen Best Man?
I'm not that
That's
cat.
That's all you gotta say. You're that cat. That's all you have to say.
Ah, it's so annoying. That's obnoxious. I want to go out, but I do feel like cats like you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have this energy where I feel like if I hung with you, you would make everybody feel at ease.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's that. That's how. Like, I'm used to that.
I would facilitate that hookup if you gave me 10% of that prenup. If you throw me 10% of that prenup when you throw out the bouquet, we are good. I will hook you up with the richest white lady I've ever seen in my life. And I'm going to live in your guest house, and I'm going to drive you G-Wagon. Yeah, bitch, I saw your house. I'm going to live in your guest house, and I'm going to drive you G-Wagon, okay? That's what we're going to do.
He's saying that with a straight face.
I'm dead serious.
That's why I love you. I have no problem putting you in charge of that.
But, I feel like you're having the second wave right now. You're single. Mm-hmm. You're good looking.
Thank you.
You're an alien because you're 50 and you look 27. And you have this hot new show on TV. Tell me about this show.
Oh, All American. Yeah, so proud of it. CW.
It's Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. Kind of mixed with Straight Outta Compton. You know, I play a coach at the school in Beverly Hills, and I'm very ambitious and driven. I'm married to a white woman. I got two beautiful interracial children. And then I see this student athlete from Crenshaw, and I pull some strings to make sure he can play over on my team. And then it becomes somewhat of like a tale of two cities, and he's dealing with, you know, being from a different hood and race and sex and, bullying and all this stuff. And the background is football. It's quality work. I'm really, really proud of it. Yeah.
I feel like you took the project because there were some parallels to your own life.
100%.
And I feel 100%. Like a lot of the main character, the kid who you take in, is a lot like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see yourself in this kid. Do you feel like you were helped a lot through your career? That people kind of boosted you up and you helped you throughout your life?
100%. 100%. Like all growing up before I like made it, I was a bit of an outcast. You know what I mean? Because I talked white. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't an athlete. I was kind of skinny. I wasn't very like confident within myself. And there were certain people in my life that recognized something. They were like, it's tough for you now, baby, but you stay the course.
Yeah.
Let me put you in contact with this person, baby. Come here. You need to speak to this. And at the time, I was just like, okay. I just like the attention. But they were literally setting me up. That's what I love about black people sometimes. Like, they're like, okay, this one's going to do something.
Right?
You go over here, baby. They're going to teach you this. And then this person will meet you up. And I did everything they said. And then I was like, hey, okay.
You figured it out.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm very appreciative, and I'm really trying to pay that forward to others.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You grew up in like the whitest place ever.
White, and I went
Rochester.
Back and forth. Yeah, Rochester, New York guy. Back and forth. So I would like back and forth. So there were times when I was like the only black kid. And then there were times where I was only black people, but then all the black people treated me like I was a white kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because of the way I spoke, so. It was an interesting childhood.
This is probably why we get along. I had both.
Yeah.
I started out as obviously one of the only gay black kids in an all-black environment in the hood.
Mm.
And then I switched over to the bougie white school where I was the only black kid, but I was gay and poor.
Mm.
But it was weird because I felt like there was a little bit more inter-race racism and a little bit. It was tougher for me at the all-black school than it was at the all-white school.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Was that the same experience for you?
100%. Because then it's like when you're the only black kid with white people, you can easily just put it on them.
Yes.
And be like, okay, you have an issue, I'm fine. But when you are not liked by your own, then it becomes a little bit of a shame thing. Like, oh,
yeah.
What's wrong with me? Because we look alike, but you're still not feeling me. I don't get it. I don't know why I speak like this, but why are you? It was a trip. I mean, you know, it ends up making you stronger.
Yeah.
But I would never, ever wish that upon anybody, you know.
It was tough.
It's tough.
I'm not going to lie.
It's
when
tough.
I was going into seventh grade, I'd went to all black school from first grade to sixth grade.
Yeah.
And it was a different school in seventh grade. And my cousins were two big meatheads, mm-hmm. and they would come home crying every day. I'm like, this is like Dangerous Minds at this school. I am a daffodil in, like, people will notice me. And my mother was like, why? And I'm like, come on, you know. You know what's up. I'm like, don't make me spell this out for you. You already motherfucking know. But it's crazy because I look back at that experience and I think about it and I wouldn't change it for the world. I would redo that experience all over again and go through that pain.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, I was a all district track star
okay.
because I ran my ass home every day.
Yeah.
I could have went to the Olympics in sixth grade. Her ass was running. It was get your ass whipped or take off. And guess what? She was Usain motherfucking Bolt. That's true tea.
I remember this time in seventh grade. And this is seventh grade was when you had, there are people you went to elementary school with, right?
Yeah.
Where in elementary school, everybody's cool. In seventh and eighth grade, people grow up. They get big. They change.
They start smelling like
something happens. Mm-hmm. So like your best friend can become your enemy overnight just because
it's 2 seconds.
So one of my friends all of a sudden was like my enemy. I come into school and he said, you better run. And I start. It was the longest haul. He said, I'm gonna kick your ass if I catch you. I'm gonna kick your ass if I catch you. And you know, there's a hall, all the doors were open.
Yeah.
So I was running, and every time I would run past an open door, I would go, help! Help! And he stopped and he started laughing so hard because he knew how funny that was. Help. He had to stop chasing me. He's like, you were saying help.
You go probably, on. Probably left your shoes by the water fountain.
Dude, I did not understand it. Anyway.
I used humor to get my ass out of getting the ass kicking.
Yeah.
Like I would make people laugh in order for me not to get beaten. And that was like my thing. But I also was, I was tiny as all hell, but I could whip somebody into shape with a tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could make somebody feel stupid for 2 seconds, then I can kind of walk away. That was my defense mechanism.
Yeah. I didn't have that at the black schools because I didn't know that sensibility.
Yeah.
At the white schools, I could use sarcasm and, but at the black school, I didn't know the lingo, so I was a recluse. You know what I mean? It wasn't until I entered School of the Arts, where the language was talent. But you know, when I was there, everybody was cool, and that's where I was allowed to grow. And that school changed my life, like straight up.
That's amazing.
Yeah, any confidence I have, anything, came from that school because all of a sudden I was a seed, and it was only positive. It was the exact opposite of what I had been used to. You know what I mean? I didn't have to prove anything, and they just allowed me to grow. And I, after that school, I had so much confidence that you couldn't stop me.
Yeah. Running the 400 for Jamaica, Tay Diggs.
Help! Help! Oh, I was so scared.
I would have freaked out.
I will never forget that. No. And nobody came out to help me.
Ain't nobody gonna help your ass.
City schools.
Listen, as an entertainer myself, and I call myself that loosely. Mm-hmm.
Gulp, gulp.
When there's a break or a lull or I'm not working for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
I'm flipping the fuck out. You've been lucky and blessed that you have consistently been working for the last three mm-hmm. decades. Like mm-hmm. You've been hustling. You've been doing it. You've kept your name in the spotlight, private practice. But what's that one break feel like?
I'm only feeling it as of late because when I was younger, I had such a confidence that I knew something was always coming.
Yeah.
But then once I became aware of it, then all of a sudden, the magic is kind of removed.
Yeah.
So I wish I could go back to my younger days when I just had the confidence that something else would come. Now I'm very aware, and now I'm like always checking for the next thing.
Yeah.
I never checked for the next thing when I was younger. Stuff would just come. And if I wasn't working, I would be like, oh, this is a break. I'm cool. Yeah. Something would come and something would come. But now, you know, it's like I fell into, and I'm trying to get back to the old me, but now I'm very aware. And it's annoying, but But I'm still blessed and that work is still coming. So it's I'm just always on the move.
Yeah.
I'm always on the move.
Look, I got a four-legged dog named Cooper and that motherfucker will break my bank. So I couldn't imagine in your head when you have a child how that changes your perception of being a provider. That must be stressful.
I know that it's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? The stress just comes from not, like I just, you know, I feel like I don't have free time. You know
yeah.
I mean? Like I'm still confident enough to know that I will always be provided for. Like I have that faith, you know, the universe, God, whatever has proven that like I'm good.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, at this age, it's like it feels like I never have free time because I'm always at this meeting or trying to, I'm either hanging with my kid or, you know, meeting with friends that haven't, you know, seen me in a while or working on that next gig and, you know, producing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just realized I had some ambition and now I want to create stuff. You know what I mean? So in order to do all the things I want to do, it takes time, and if I'm doing that, there's less time just for me to hang out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. It seems like, listening to you talk about your childhood, you had a very different childhood from your son. Because again,
different.
Bitch, I saw the house, and I've seen the car.
And the thing is,
you're bougie.
He doesn't know. He has no idea. And I just have to be cool. Do you know what I mean? With it? Because I'm very proud. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
I did what I said I would do. But now, even more so, I have given my child, he has the opposite life. Where I was worried, are we having dinner tonight? Are we just gonna have do I have to put sugar on my rice and have it for breakfast?
Yeah.
He doesn't have any of that. He is beyond that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know it. So a little bit of me wants to be like, do you know what that, you can have any cereal you, do you know what?
We didn't have Postmates.
He doesn't care because he doesn't have any context. And it's an exercise for me because he shouldn't, it shouldn't be about that.
Yeah.
But I wish I could be like, motherfucker, I had to, like, I washed my socks with my hands.
I had crackers and milk every, at eggs and rice 4 nights a week. We'd catch up if you were lucky.
And but I they told him know. That once, and he was like, Daddy, don't tell me that. That makes me feel bad for you. I was like, I don't need your pity. I want you to thank me.
Right?
That makes me feel, no, Mommy, Daddy was poor when he would, don't talk, like he... So anyway, I just got to focus on the fact that he's, so you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like his life is so cool. He's having a ball when somebody else comes from the outside and is like, you're this. And oh, that's the thing. He thinks he's not. I'm like, my kid has a great childhood. Say something else.
Yeah.
And I'll beat your f***ing ass.
And I'm going to be right behind you.
It's the only thing that gets me off of my equilibrium, like my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When he's a little older and he can fight his own battles, I'll be cool, but I don't like the fact that I don't know what I'm capable of doing if he's in harm.
Yeah.
I don't like being in that position.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you two personal questions.
Okay.
Because as your friend, I've always wanted to ask you this, and I've never had the nuts to ask
really
you.
Quickly, we're not friends, but keep going. No, we're cool. No, you know what I'm saying. We're like work pals. Wait, what do they call? It's only the white people say on my co- what is the word?
Okay, you know what? There was another black person back there who's being shady as f-. By the way, all the white people in here knew exactly what he was talking about, but they did not say a word.
Colleague.
Don't you call me a colleague.
I would never. Colleague. Whoever made up that. And whenever anybody says it, they're so proud. I'm just talking, my colleague, my work colleague. Bitch, no, your colleague.
Tell people we're friends before they start believing I'm your mother
we're
colleague.
Such friends. I want to, listen, for real, like I would text you every day if I did. I don't want to sweat you.
No, sweat me.
Okay. Because I need you.
Come on.
All right, let's get it on.
And that's going to be my second question. My first question is, you and your baby mama are cool.
Very cool.
Co-parenting. Yes. You guys have stayed friends this whole time.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind when John Travolta said Adele Nazim. And be completely motherfucking honest, because I know the text message you sent her was shady as
all right, so that was very early on in our divorce. And, I mean, not many people know me as well as she does. We were literally, we were kids when we met. So what I loved about her was she was with me before anything.
Yeah.
Before fame, before movies, before muscles. So I was like, I don't know why you like me, but you like me, so let's roll.
I know why she liked you.
I didn't. Do you feel me? So there's a bond there. And when I met her, I saw all of her talent and what and her potential. So I'm a fan. I still am a fan. And I don't know anybody else in the world that sounds like her, that has her.
No one.
And I feel like I was like, I knew it before y'all did.
Right.
And I told her, just cool out. You're going to be big. Just chill. So when that happened, on the surface, because I was hurt and I was like, oh, good. On the very surface. But then deep down, I felt so bad. And I was f***ing pissed at John Travolta. I was pissed that
You guys
act like this is a real TV show. No, this motherfucker's name.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult. So yeah. I immediately took her side. You know what I mean? And I was hoping, you know, that she, I hope it didn't, you know, didn't
rattle
affect her. Yeah. So.
But she went out there and killed it.
Well, that's what she does. You know what I mean?
But did you change that phone number, that name in the phone, to Adele Nazim? Because you know my shady ass would have did something like that. You know my shady ass would have did that.
I wasn't that. But we've, you know, now, years later, we laugh at the name. The name is funny. Because it's nothing like her name.
Nothing like her name.
She's not.
I'm like, his wig was tight that night. Bitch, that hit.
And
that
when you watch it, you can tell he's saying it wrong. He knows he's saying it wrong, so he's acting like he's really confident.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he said it like he's talking about his daughter here. Like he is like,
and he turns away from the mic because you can. It's brilliant. I'm very proud of her.
My second question is,
yeah,
you know, I know a lot of people.
I do.
I know a lot of bitches.
I do know that.
If I'm looking for that girl over there, who's the prototype? How big does that booty have to be? What's the age range? Are we looking at a J-Lo? Are we coming for a Gabrielle? Are we checking for a mix between Eva Longoria with a little hood in, a little Tiffany Haddish in her? Like, what's happening?
Okay.
Because you have your pick of the litter. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try to, like, say, I'm not in this game, bitch, you know you got it.
That's why I need to hang out with you.
Oh, I'll hype you up.
And this is the thing about childhood, and I don't know if you feel like this. I'm still that nerd from seventh grade. You know what I mean? Like, even though the world has proven to me that at the end of the day, that's the core.
For sure.
So when I'm out and, you know, if stuff isn't like presented to me in a certain way, I'm like, I don't really know. Do you know what I mean? So when I was growing up, I went out with girls that liked me. And I was like, okay, you like me, so let's go. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how to be like you. You know what I mean? And I'm just not that dude, so.
You're rusty.
I mean, I've never been in it. I've never been, like, single and, like, mingling and.
Yeah.
And I've never. I met Adina when I was 20-something. We got married.
Yeah.
When we divorced, immediately jumped into another relationship with a single mother who had two. You know what I mean? I was
like,
oh, this makes this safe. This makes sense. You know what I mean?
100. It was easy.
So now.
All you need is an Instagram and a dick pic. Come on. Tay, it's not that hard. All you need is Instagram and a dick pic.
That's going to be the name of my next book.
Tay Diggs, thank you so much for coming on Just a Sip. This was bomb. Thank you guys for taking the sip. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review this podcast. Hell, share it with your friends. And don't forget to hit me up at Justin A. Sylvester on Instagram and let me know what you loved about this podcast, what you didn't love about this podcast, and who you want to hear take the next sip.